Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Olivier. I'm happy to be here talking with you.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about emotional intelligence and especially about empathy. So you're Scott Katamas, you're the founder of the Love Coach Academy, you're a relationship coach. Want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So for the last 20 years, I've made my living coaching and teaching. And my primary focus has been on compassionate communication and emotional intelligence skill building. And really at the heart of it all is empathy. When we are triggered, we tend to be in the back part of our brain where the reptile brain takes over. And we go from being a spiritual person to a raging reptile. Right? Sound familiar?
Totally.
It's my favorite toy. And what I like to work with people on is recognizing where you're vulnerable. What are the things in your life, your veils of past pain, your triggers, the ways you can be stimulated that are going to send you into reptile brain? How to know what those are, how to notice it, and how to pull up and live in our frontal lobe. In our frontal lobe, or also known as the forebrain, that's the empathy center of the brain and the observer part of the brain. That's where the Dalai Lama lives. That's where spiritually advanced people live, where we have empathy for ourselves, empathy for others, and the ability to see the big picture. So that's really at the heart of my work. And I love to work with couples. I work with families. I work with small businesses. It really is important in the professional workplace to be hanging out here in the way we think and the way we see the world versus hanging out in the back part of the brain. So that's really kind of my main thing.
That's perfect, because what I've found in relationships, especially like intimate relationships, my own and seeing others, and also in my research was reading this book saying that usually men want less fighting in a relationship and more sex. But on the other end, the woman, they really need to be heard and understood, and they need to feel emotionally received, to feel like the heart connection, and then being able to open to intimacy. But when a trigger happens, usually the man wants to fix the situation. And the woman, if it's reversed, the woman tends to want to kind of fix the feeling in the man, or fix the person, fix the man, and what they need to change, you know, to not be on the receiving end of that trigger. Yeah. So it looks like being able to not go into those patterns, into those kind of basic, I don't know if it's a wiring, if it's a cultural learning, but how do we do different, and how it's the main thing. If we could just like give empathy instead of defensiveness, it would change everything. So what are your, how to do that, Scott?
So you're absolutely right with everything you've shared. And what I always suggest for people is make a holy vow, make a commitment that the prime directive always is to understand each other. See, if we are committed to really understanding each other, that takes us out of the fixing model. It takes us out of the make wrong model. Where it goes bad is when people go into right, I'm right, you're wrong, or I'm good, you're bad, or attack and defend, right? And all of those polarities, all of those things create polarity and separation.
Yeah.
So the key is to absolutely be committed when things get tough, when we have a difference, we're not going to go into right, wrong. We're not going to go into attack and defend. We're not going to go into good, bad. We're going to seek to understand each other. And it's a commitment that people really need to make. And by the way, not just lovers, that's a commitment between people that live together, people that work together, always seeking to understand each other. And recognizing, I want to make it go off, but recognizing if we're too triggered, right? If we're too in this guy, then we don't really want to understand the other. We just want to be right, or we just want to get our way, right? So learning how to recognize when am I in that place where, no, I don't want to understand you. I just want to get my way. And that's where I need to pull back and get centered and then come back when I'm genuinely interested in understanding you. And the thing about it is, if we take the time to always understand each other, then the solutions emerge. People think it's going to take longer because they just want to get their way, right? Mm-hmm. But if two people just want to get their way, they could fight forever. And yeah. there are couples and businesses that break up because of that. But if we commit to always understanding each other, almost always the solutions then come.
Right. So first, make a commitment. That's what I'm hearing from you. Second, take more time and distance, and maybe like having like talking in turns. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, that's so. Just to clarify, step one, commit that seeking to understand each other with mutual respect is the prime directive. That's like the foundation of our relationship.
Right.
Then the self-reflection of when a difference comes up, how centered am I? Am I really wanting to make you wrong, judge you, criticize you, or get my way? Or am I in that place of prime directive? I really want to understand you, and I want for you to understand me. So that we are learning to see the world and work together, whether it's as lovers, roommates, workmates, whatever it is, so that is the foundation of our relationship. That's the way. And then how do we actually do that if we're both seeking to understand each other? It's what you just pointed to. One step at a time, I share a big thought, ask for your understanding. Do you understand it? What did you hear? Clarify, make sure you heard me correctly. Then you share one big thought, make sure I understand it correctly. And we go back and forth that way. It takes a little longer in the short run, and saves relationships in the long run.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So take time to share thoughts and ask for reflection. How mm-hmm. what did you hear? And maybe like fine tune it and then shift and probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. right.
I would like to know if you, you define yourself as someone who is able to feel what somebody else is feeling, because some people say, you know, I'm an empath and I can exactly feel what they feel. And yeah. there's a bit of a different approach, because when people are empath, they approach things a little differently from people that don't see that for themselves, and they need more of a method or something like that. So I was just wondering where you're coming from.
Yeah. Well, I guess one way of looking at it is, are we in our head or are we in our heart? Now, the head is wonderful for anything logical. It's wonderful for reading a map. It's wonderful for doing math. It's wonderful for doing accounting. But being in our head is not especially useful when we're in relationships and there's a difference, because we start projecting onto the other. Remember, any thought we ever have about another person, even our spouse, is always a projection. It may be accurate. Most of the time, it's not. Right? But if we're in our heart, when it comes to relationships, if we're in our heart, we're seeking to understand each other. And ideally, where empathy comes in is seeking to feel each other. Because here's the deal. If you and I are having an argument, Olivier, we could argue forever about an intellectual concept. Trump is great. Trump is horrible. We could argue forever. Yeah. But what's not arguable is what you're feeling.
Right.
If you're feeling angry, that's not arguable. That's what you're feeling. If I'm feeling scared, that's not arguable. It's what I'm feeling. So our feelings, if we're in touch with our feelings, are never arguable. And they're also very human. So let's say we're arguing about Trump or arguing about anything. The moment one of us gets vulnerable and goes, I got to be honest, I'm just really scared. We shift out of the intellectual back and forth bullshit, and we drop into the shared humanity, because you know what it's like to feel scared. Right? So we all know what it feels like to be scared. And when we're scared, it's like, God, those are like the hardest moments in life.
Let me give you an example just to work with, a personal sure. example. So I was with my wife, Lisa, on a hike in Maui, for that matter. And we left the car and she was like, oh, I really don't want to carry my bottle around. And I'm like, oh, I have a green juice and, we can have the green juice. And we're walking and we're talking and we're talking and we're talking, and I'm sipping the green juice and I'm sipping the green juice. Once she turns to me and she's like, can I have some of the green juice? I'm like, oh crap, I just tossed it. And I felt really horrible about it. And I was like, as the man, you know, I went like, I want right away fix the situation. First, I was like, don't blame me. I didn't say that. But, you know, like the instant thing without even thinking.
Defend yourself.
I'm going to be blamed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to fix the situation right away. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm sorry. I just toss it. But I can get you something. There's a little cabin there, I can get you like coconut juice or something like that. And she got mad because she was like, oh, it's like you didn't care about me. So she said something along the lines of, yeah, I feel that you don't care about me. So my reaction was trying to fix the situation. I'm going to get you another drink if you're thirsty. And for her, it's like, it's not about being thirsty. It's about like you let me down, and I feel like you don't care about me. So, how we do better than just that? Yeah.
So that's a great example. It's a great, so perfectly human story.
Yeah.
So, you know, my motto is how perfectly human, as you know, actually very much. And so, I think ideally the first thing is we just start there. Oh God, how perfectly human. Right? Because both of you did something that didn't work. Yeah. You wanted to defend yourself and then fix it.
Yeah.
And she made an interpretation that wasn't accurate. Her interpretation that you didn't care is what caused her pain.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because you do care, then you're going to probably defend yourself even more, because of course you do care. Let me show. I'll run up and down the hill 6 miles backwards through the snow to get you a bottle of water to prove that I care, right?
Totally.
Because right? You want to be her hero.
Totally.
So that's where, again, we have to slow it down, right? Slow it down. Wow. And ideally for each of you, if possible, to acknowledge, what am I feeling? What am I really feeling? And what's going on for the other? Again, understanding each other. If she goes spinning off on, this proves that he doesn't care for me, and now it triggers all the previous boyfriends that she left because they didn't care for her the way she wanted, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's about 1/10 about the water and the green juice, and 90% about her fear that you don't care for her.
Of course.
And for you, you're like desperately trying to fix the situation because you do care.
Yeah.
Right? There's the irony.
I care so much. It's crazy. Yeah.
Right. I so get this. I really get this. And that's underneath it. What we want to do is have her really understand and feel the depth of your care.
Right.
And that's going to only happen if you guys slow down. Because again, if she's totally in her head with, he doesn't care, this is proof, fear, all that is taking over her, and you're going into your head, either defending yourself or trying to prove that you care.
Right.
You're both in your head. You're both going fast. You're both not listening to each other. But if you slow down, go back to the prime directive, understanding each other. Maybe she goes into, God, I get really scared because I so need to be cared for, and it triggers my fear and my pain that my guy doesn't really care for me. And if she can slow down and realize that's what's really going on for her, is her fears coming up. And then if you can go slow and go, honey, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because she can relate to embarrassment. I'm embarrassed.
I totally felt embarrassed.
Yeah, I feel so embarrassed. Now that's vulnerable. You talk about your feelings. It's like, honey, I care about you so much, you know. And if you slow down and you say it with that feeling of how you really do, then that gets through to her. So again, it's that kind of heart-to-heart, slowed-down connection, as opposed to two raging reptiles, right, going at it,
right?
And so that's why always it's about slowing down, connecting. One other thing that I'd say in that thing, sometimes if we've both got in two on our heads, go right into just holding each other. Let's not talk for a couple minutes. Can I just hold you and let's get centered?
Yeah.
Because Olivier, we're mammals and we need homeostasis, and our bodies remember love faster than our mind and our ego. If you're holding her, her body begins to relax into yours, begins to remember, this is my lover, this is my man, this is my mate. Yeah. The body begins to remember that. Now, the mind might still be spinning. I can't believe he drank all the green juice, right? So the mind is still doing that shit. But the body's going, oh, this feels really good. Oh, yeah, this is my guy, right?
Yeah, just to calm the whole nervous system.
To calm the nervous system. So I really emphasize a lot, possible, hold each other and don't talk.
Yeah.
Hold each other, relax into each other's arms again.
Yeah. 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 And then share like vulnerably, you know, exactly. I felt embarrassed. I totally fucked up and don't know how to make it up for it.
That's a great story. Thank you. It's a really good example to work with. Really good.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Scott, thank you so much. And I think we're going to leave it at that for now.
Okay.
So if people want to experience more of that, where could they go?
Go to my website, lovecoachscott.com. And I've got online courses, I've got free classes, I've got all sorts of good stuff that I offer. Most of it's online now. Mm-hmm. And so lovecoachscott, lovecoachscott.com.
Right. And you also do private sessions?
I do private sessions. Right. And I also train other coaches.
Right.
I've got a really wonderful mentorship program where I train other coaches in emotional intelligence skill building.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much, Scott.
It's fun. Take care, Olivier. And remember to always make sure you save some water or some juice for her.
Nah.
Totally. All right, take care.
Thank you.